So after yesterday's reading, Omkar Prabhu and I were discussing a little bit about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he reminded me of a very nice verse in the second chapter of the Madhya Lila, which I would like to read before we continue Lord Chaitanya's pastimes of dancing in the Rath Yatra, because it helps to put us in the right mood of how to hear this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, the verse is Madhya Lila chapter 2, text 87, but I'm going to read 86 first, because 86 is also directly instructive to us on how to be in the right mood for associating with this great literature. So this is Krishnadas Kaviraj speaking. He's the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he says, Nahi kahan saviroda, nahi kahan anuroda, sahaja vastu karibibara. Yadi haya raga desha, tahan haya avesha, sahaja vastu na yaya likhan. And Srila Prabhupada translates as follows. In this Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I have written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truth. So very short but instructive purport Prabhupada writes here. He says, the simplest thing for human beings is to follow their predecessors. And think about that. I mean, that's natural, to follow those who've gone before you. For instance, in a matter of eating. Nowadays, we just go to Vons or Trader Joe's or whatever. But previously, you grew up in a situation where there were a lot of plants growing everywhere, and someone ever poisoned us. How do you know what to eat, what not to eat? You follow your predecessors. Whatever your mother, your grandmother eats or prepares, that's what you eat. And that way, you're safe. So as Prabhupada is saying here, it's natural. It's the simplest thing for human beings to follow their predecessors. Judgment according to mundane senses is not a very easy process. Again, take the example of eating. If you were to go into the forest and try to figure out yourself what to eat, what not to eat, you may die before you get it right. But if you follow those who have been doing it over a long time, knowledge handed down, then you're safe. Whatever is awakened by attachment to one's predecessor is the way of devotional service, as indicated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very, very important statement Prabhupada is making. Whatever is awakened by attachment to one's predecessor is the way of devotional service, as indicated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, as Prabhupada himself used to say many times, don't jump over. You can't jump over your immediate predecessor to go to somebody else in the past. You can't become a disciple of Rupa Goswami. It's not possible. It's not possible. So similarly, those who are now joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement, you cannot become a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. You can become a follower of Srila Prabhupada, but you cannot become his disciple. You can never jump over. Otherwise, why stop anywhere? Why not just jump to Krishna? Why you know, be a follower of anybody else? Just say, okay, I'm Krishna's disciple. It doesn't work like that. It's specifically set up, as Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, parampara. So you have to go to the immediate predecessor and follow. Now, if that immediate predecessor is himself or herself properly connected to their predecessor, then everything flows nicely. This is called transparent via media. The author says, however, that he cannot consider the opinions of those who become attracted or repelled by such things, because one cannot write impartially in that way. In other words, the author is stating that he did not inject personal opinion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has simply described his spontaneous understanding from superiors. If he had been carried away by someone's likes and dislikes, he could not have written of such a sublime subject matter in such an easy way. The actual facts are understandable to real devotees. When these facts are recorded, they are very congenial to the devotees. But one who is not a devotee cannot understand. Such is the subject matter for realization. Mundane scholarship and its concomitant attachments and detachments cannot arouse spontaneous love of Godhead. Such love cannot be described by a mundane scholar. Again, this is a very, very strong warning Prabhupada is giving us, because in our contemporary society, there are many scholars of Vaishnavism, scholars of Radha Krishna Leela, and they write so many things that may seem attractive, but you should avoid it like poison. Unless it's coming down in parampara, it will not only not have a positive effect on your consciousness, it will have just the opposite. See, many of them, they sit down and they discuss Radha Krishna Leela, Vrindavan Leela, and then they go out and have a drink. So this kind of mundane presentation of Vaishnavism is to be avoided like poison. And then this is a verse that sparked my interest in this section. As I was telling Omkar yesterday, I had the good fortune of working on the famous 17 volumes in 2 months marathon to produce the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I was used to run this typesetting equipment. And when you put in the paper to be developed, it comes out backwards. So I was spending most of my days reading the CC backwards. So the next verse, text 87, says, Yebanahi bhuje keha shunite shunite seha ki adbhuta chaitanya charita krishne upajive priti jani be rasara riti shunile bhara hayahita. So Prabhupada translates, and this is what sparked my interest, it says, because I had completely forgotten about this verse. If one does not understand in the beginning, but continues to hear again and again, the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes will bring love for Krishna. Gradually, one will come to understand the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis and other associates of Vrindavan. Everyone is advised to continue to hear over and over again in order to greatly benefit. So again, Prabhupada is, you know, if you really concentrate on what Prabhupada says, you'll see the depth of the wisdom here. Because sometimes we have this, not sometimes, practically all the time, we have this desire to get things done instantly. We're living in an instant age, instant this, instant that. We want things to happen right now. We can't wait. So if it's not happening right now, then I have to find somebody who can touch me on the head and make it happen right now. So many people are impressed by that. They go to some guru who can touch you on the head, and this is like, so Prabhupada made fun of that. He said, it's not like, you know, some shock. It doesn't work like that. So here he's saying, just go on hearing, meaning Prabhupada's books, just go on hearing over and over again. I once was discussing with a young devotee why that person seemed to be not reading so much anymore. And the person told me, well, I read Bhagavad Gita 10 times and Chaitanya Charitamrita twice and Srimad Bhagavatam 3 times. So go on reading. Go on reading. It's not that you get to a certain number and then you stop. The more you read Prabhupada's books, the more realization develops. Same thing with chanting. Once some gentleman approached me when I was in the San Diego temple, and he said, well, Prabhu, how many times do I have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra before I become fully realized? I said, there's not a set. No. He said, no. But how many times? 100,000, 200? You know, he was looking for a formula that, you know, you chant a certain amount of times and then boom, you know, things will happen. It doesn't work like that. Just go on chanting and the effect will take place. Similarly with reading, if we just go on hearing Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says here, the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes will bring love for Krishna. So this is why we're hearing these pastimes over and over again. It may seem repetitive to those who are not devotees or even to new devotees, but if we just continue diving into the nectar over and over again, one day we will drown in the nectar. All right, so let's continue the pastime of Lord Chaitanya dancing at Ratha Yatra. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're back in the 13th chapter, the ecstatic dancing of the Lord at Ratha Yatra, Madhya Leela. Chapter 13, and we're starting at text 44. There was a Sankirtan party from the village known as Kulinagram, and Ramananda and Satyaraj were appointed the dancers in this group. There was another party that came from Shantipur and was formed by Advaita Acharya. Chaitananda was the dancer and the rest of the men were singers. How many have been to Shantipur? Yes. Nice temple there. Place of pastimes of Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Another party was formed by the people of Kanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narahari Prabhu and Raghunandan were dancing. Four parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannath, and on either side was another party, yet another was at the rear. Now it makes you wonder, were they all singing the same melody and the same song? Or now, we have here, we have one party in front of each card. And it works generally. They don't overlap, except when something happens and all three cars are crammed together. There were altogether seven parties of Sankirtan. And in each party, two men were beating drums. Thus, 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous, and all the devotees became mad. So generally, Saturday before Ratha Yatra, we send out a huge party, sometimes more than 100 devotees. And I've always thought that maybe we should divide them up instead of doing that, because it gets a little splayed out and spaced out. Imagine if we had five parties of 20 going to different places in the city. One in Santa Monica, one in Hollywood, one in Westwood, different places like that. I think people would think that we were taking over the place. And I think that would, in my opinion anyway, that would be a little more effective rather than having a huge party and, you know, you can't hear the leader anymore and the devotees start just window shopping. And so, anyway, just a thought. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds. As the devotees chanted the holy names in great ecstasy, tears fell from their eyes like rain. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one could hear any sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered through all seven groups, chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari. Raising his arms, he shouted, all glories to Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all seven groups. So this is just another instance where Lord Chaitanya is reminding us that he's not an ordinary person. He's Lord Krishna. He's playing the role of a devotee, and he himself did not like to be addressed as the Supreme Person, but he did let it slip on different occasions. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service, could understand. Lord Jagannath was very much pleased by the Sankirtan, and he brought his car to a standstill just to see the performance. King Pataparudra was also astonished to see the Sankirtan. He became inactive and was converted to ecstatic love of Krishna. When the king informed Kashi Mishra of the glories of the Lord, Kashi Mishra replied, O king, your fortune has no limit. The king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were both aware of the Lord's activities, but no one else could see the tricks of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Rama cannot understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street. And for this humility, the king received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Purport. The mystery of the Lord's activities is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Lord Jagannath was astonished to see the transcendental dancing and chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he stopped his car just to see the dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then danced in such a mystical way that he pleased Lord Jagannath. Now, the stopping of the cart is directly related to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's life, as you know. He was the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the magistrate and the de facto leader, head of the Puri temple. So once when the Rath Yatra was coming, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had just been born, he was still an infant, and the car stopped in front of his house, and they put him up on the car, and the Lord's garland fell around him to indicate that he was a very special personality. So from his early childhood, from his birth practically, he was directly related with Lord Jagannath. Continuing the purport. The seer and the dancer were one and the same person, but the Lord, being one and many at the same time, was exhibiting the variegatedness of his pastimes. Sometimes people are confused by this because they say, you people say you're monotheists, but you're worshiping Krishna and Chaitanya and so many, yes, different forms of the Lord. The Lord is not limited like we are. We are here in LA, we're not in Nairobi or Sydney or London, but Krishna is everywhere, and we know this instinctively. You know, anywhere you go and you pray to God, God hears you, right? Whether you're at the beach or on top of a mountain or so. Yeah, we know God is everywhere simultaneously, but He's also personally present, not just in some impersonal way. This is the meaning behind, this is the meaning behind His mysterious exhibition. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand how the two of them were enjoying each other's activities. Another mysterious exhibition was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simultaneous presence in seven groups. Why seven? It could be 7 million. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand that also. Text 61. Although the king had been refused an interview, he was indirectly bestowed causeless mercy. One who can understand the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing the part of a world teacher, he did not agree to see the king, because the king is a mundane person interested in money and women. Indeed, the very word king suggests one who is always surrounded by money and women. As a sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of both money and women. He's God, he's not actually afraid, but he wanted to set the proper standard for sannyasis to follow. The very word king is repugnant to one who is in the renounced order of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see the king, but indirectly, by the Lord's causeless mercy, the king was able to understand the Lord's mysterious activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities were exhibited sometimes to reveal him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and sometimes to show him as a devotee. Both kinds of activities are mysterious and appreciated only by pure devotees. 62. When the two great personalities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy upon the king, they were astonished. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his personal associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Indeed, the personality of God had forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes. But his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. Purport. It is stated in the Upanishads, Parasya Shaktir Vidhaya Shriyate, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. The Lord sometimes has, the Supreme Lord has multipotencies, which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength, and activity are being directed solely by His will. This is from the Shvetasvatara Upanishad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited His mystic power in presenting Himself simultaneously in each and every Sankirtan group. Most people thought that He was one, but some saw that He was many. The internal devotees could understand that the Lord, although one, was exhibiting Himself as many in the different Sankirtan groups. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, He forgot Himself and was simply absorbed in ecstatic bliss. But His internal potency arranged everything perfectly. This is the difference between the internal and external potency. In the material world, the external potency, material energy, can act only after one endeavors at great length. But when the Supreme Lord desires, everything is performed automatically by the internal potency. By His will, things happen so nicely and perfectly that they appear to be carried out automatically. Sometimes the activities of the internal potency are exhibited in the material world. In fact, all the activities of material nature are actually performed by the inconceivable energies of the Lord. But so-called scientists and students of material nature are unable to understand ultimately how things are happening. They evasively conclude that everything is being done by nature, but they do not know that behind nature is the potent, supreme personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10, Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, etuna anena konteya jagad viparivartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So practically we see that even on a moment-to-moment basis, we want to be God. Everything is being controlled by God, all energies. But sometimes, I know I can speak for myself, not for you, but I'm sure maybe you experience this, that you want something to happen, you want to do something, and it doesn't work properly, and you get frustrated. Practically, you want to be like God, where everything just happens automatically. But it's just to remind us that we're not God. Even the simplest thing you try to do, you can be frustrated. Krishna is not like that. Whatever he wants to happen, happens automatically. So, text 66. Just as Lord Sri Krishna formerly performed the Rasa Lila dance and other pastimes at Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed uncommon pastimes moment after moment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing before the Ratha Yatra car could be perceived only by pure devotees. Others could not understand. Descriptions of Lord Krishna's uncommon dancing can be found in the revealed scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Sri Krishna expanded himself into many forms while engaged in the Rasa Lila dance, and he also expanded himself when he married 16,000 wives in Dwarka. The same process was adopted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he expanded himself into seven forms to dance in each and every group of the Sankirtan party. These expansions were appreciated by pure devotees, including King Prataparudra. Although for reasons of external formality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see King Prataparudra because he was a king, King Prataparudra became one of the Lord's most confidential devotees by the Lord's special mercy upon him. The king could see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simultaneously present in all seven groups. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot see the expansions of the transcendental forms of the Lord unless one is a pure devotee of the Lord. So we have a Ratha Yatra coming up, and there's no guarantee that we're going to see Lord Chaitanya expanded in our groups, but we should know that he's present. The Lord is omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything that's going on. And on the surface, it seems that we're pulling Lord Jagannath's cart, Balaram's cart, Subhadra's cart, but actually they're pulling us. We should realize that. They're pulling us. It's by their arrangement that Srila Prabhupada brought this Ratha Yatra festival to the West, just to pull us back to Krishna consciousness, back to original consciousness as servants of the Lord. So we should see like that when we're at the Ratha Yatra festival. It's not something mundane. And again, it's not, as Lord Jagannath proves in this pastime, it's not by our strength that we're pulling the Lord's cart. It's by his will that everything is happening. And again, he is actually pulling us. He's pulling us by the shika. He's pulling us by the sari. He's pulling us by our eyes, by every limb. He's pulling us to come back to pure Krishna consciousness, to give up association with mundane consciousness. Because as we know from experience, it doesn't satisfy. Every one of us here knows. We've been trying birth after birth to be satisfied in this material world. And is everybody here satisfied by material activities? No, we're not. That's why we're sitting in this room. That's why we've agreed to come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement. But we should always try to push it to the next level and the next level, to plead to the Lord to please reveal himself completely. Yes, it can become easy to be complacent, to just go through the motions. But every day we're reminded that we don't have unlimited time on this planet. Recently, last Thursday, I think it was, the last Ekadashi, the eldest or the most elderly Srila Prabhupada disciple on the planet left this world, Brajabhadu. Some of you may know her, Brajabhadu Devi Dasi. She spent most of her time in the San Diego Yatra. Actually, I first moved to the San Diego Temple in 1990 and I met her. Very interesting character. She was American, but both herself and her brother had been given up for adoption, and her life was so hard that at a certain time she just decided to move away from America. She moved to Mexico, and she was actually living there, and that's where she met Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada went to Mexico City. And so she became a disciple. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. I don't know if any of you had any time or any personal contact with her. Beautiful. She left this world, like I said, in last Dakota. She was 99 and a half years old. And such a humble character, always looking for menial service to do. Suvas is always reminding us that, yes, you may be a big gun in this way or that way, but always be prepared to do menial service for the Lord. So she was the epitome of this. She was actually very, very knowledgeable person. She knew a lot of things, but she never presented herself that way. She always presented herself very humbly. Even into her elderly years, she was taking a broom and sweeping around the temple down in San Diego. Just a very, very humble person. So now I'm not sure who's the eldest Prabhupada's disciple left. Maybe it's Amala. He's like 82 now. I don't know if there's anybody older than Amala Bhakta Prabhu in the ranks of Prabhupada disciples. Huh? But even if we live to be 99 and a half, if we don't fully surrender, if we don't fully take advantage of this opportunity that's given to us, we'll have to come back again. So this Rath Yatra is a reminder that we should get into this mood of serving the Lord, doing menial service. The King is being glorified over and over again for doing menial service, picking up a broom and sweeping in front of the Lord's cart. So that opportunity is there for all of us. Leading up to the festival, during the festival, after the festival, there's always so much, there's no limit to devotional service. There's always opportunity. No matter what time of day you wake up or what time of day you go to bed, there's always something you can do. And as Prabhupada used to say, if you have time and there's nothing else to do, then just chant. Pick up the beads and chant. That's also service. We sometimes forget that. Hearing the holy name, chanting the holy name, that's devotional service. So if you have no other opportunity to do anything else, put your hand in the bead bag and just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pick up Prabhupada's books, read them again and again, like that verse we read from the second chapter. Just by hearing again and again, you'll gradually enter into this mood by Lord Chaitanya's grace of understanding Krishna's pastimes. You don't need, because, you know, sometimes, I mean, I have to keep saying this because, you know, some people are still confused by this. Some people think that only some elderly Indian gentleman can give you Krishna consciousness, and if there's no elderly Indian gentleman around, then you have to go to India to find. No! The foremost elderly Indian gentleman already came, and he left everything that you need to become completely self-realized, to go back to Godhead, to enter into Radha Krishna pastimes. You don't need anything else or anyone else, but Prabhupada's. That's why he formed this movement, to give us all the opportunity. Just dive into his books, follow Prabhupada, you cannot go wrong. But certain personalities are still out there. They're ISKCON conscious, but they hate ISKCON. It's like Kamsa and Krishna. Kamsa hated Krishna, but he could not stop thinking of Krishna. So some people like that. They hate ISKCON, but they can't stop thinking of ISKCON. And they hang around ISKCON, and they're always trying to take away from ISKCON instead of giving to ISKCON. So don't be befooled by such personalities. They come here and they simply look for the newest, most neophyte personalities that we've attracted. It takes a lot of work to attract people to this movement. It doesn't happen easily. To keep these temples going, to keep the prasadam distribution going, the harinam going, the book production and distribution going, it takes work. And the devotees who have given their life and soul to ISKCON, and then these personalities come along, they drive up for a few days, hang around, and they just pick off the newest members that are attracted here and then go and indoctrinate them into why ISKCON is no good. So then why you come here then if ISKCON is no good? Stay away. Stay away. Somebody was confused by this. Just the reason I'm discussing this, somebody approached me a few days ago. Somebody, a new person, was confused about this. So I told her, I said, yeah, good fences make good neighbors. You know, we have an organization with a particular flavor that Prabhupada gave us that we're trying to maintain. And if somebody wants to, you know, create another organization with a different flavor, they have a right to do that. But don't come here and try to take away from ISKCON. Why? Why? I see it happen. You will see that the Rath Yatra. They cannot put on their own Rath Yatra. So they come, literally, they tell people, this is our Rath Yatra. They tell people like that. We've put on this Rath Yatra. Buy our books. Don't buy those books. It's crazy. It's crazy. So, we're very fortunate that we've come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's movement. that we know is genuine, and we're not saying nobody else is genuine, and they have a right to do whatever they want to do. But those of us who are, have given our life and soul to this camp, we should maintain that mood, maintain Prabhupada's mood, and try to, yes, indoctrinate new people in Prabhupada's mood. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada said, it takes so much energy and effort to make a devotee. He said, it's practically, it's like trying to make a wild animal into a pet. He said that. So, when all that energy has been expended to make a devotee, it's not easy. And then to see people just come along and put poison in their ears and try to pull them away. You know, so we have to speak up. We have to speak up. It's not all one. There are different organizations. ISKCON is one organization. There are other organizations. And a person has a right to go to any organization they want. But what people should not be doing is they form their own organization and they just come here to try to benefit from whatever we have done. That's not right. If you form your organization, you don't like ISKCON, and put on your own Rath Yatra. Go out and have your own. They follow the Harinam parties and they hand out their own book. They follow our Harinam parties and hand out their own books. Why? If you don't like ISKCON, then have your own Harinam and your own festivals and do your own thing. That's perfectly permissible. But don't come here and try to poison new people and take them away. Okay, so we'll read a few more verses. And it's almost time to stop. We're at text 69. Thus, Lord Jagannath mounted his car, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired all his devotees to dance in front of it. Now please hear about Lord Jagannath going to the Gundicha temple while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the Rath car. The Lord performed kirtan for some time and through his own endeavor inspired all the devotees to dance. When the Lord himself wanted to dance, all seven groups combined together. The Lord's devotees, including Srivas, Ramai, Raghu Govinda, Mukunda, Haridas, Govindanandan, Madhava, and Govinda all combined together. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to jump high while dancing, he placed these nine people in the charge of Sarup Damodar. These devotees, Sarup Damodar and the devotees in his charge, sang along with the Lord, and they also ran beside him. All the other groups of men also sang. Offering obeisances to the Lord with folded hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his face toward Jagannath and prayed as follows. And this is a verse that we all know. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Tayacha, Jagadataya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So now we know where it came from. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable deity for all Brahminical men, who is the well-wisher of cows and brahmanas, and who is always benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead, known as Krishna and Govinda. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana. And then, this is a very sweet verse. Jayati Jayati Devo Devakinandano So Jayati Jayati Krishna Vishnu Vamsa Pradipa Jayati Jayati Megha Shyamala Komalango Jayati Jayati Prithvi Bharanasho Mukunda. And this translation. All glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the Son of Devaki. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the light of the dynasty of Vrishni. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud, and whose body is as soft as a lotus flower. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet to deliver the world from the burden of demons, who can offer liberation, and who can offer liberation to everyone. And this is a verse from the Mukunda Mala. So we can stop here. If there's any discussion, now is the time to do. Yes, Sachi Tenoy Prabhu.
Can you think about two or three different ways how to give an answer to the question when someone is in a beautiful chariot way, and for the benefit of the new devotee, how can they answer to it? What is this? What is this all about? Can you give two or three different ways
how? I would say, isn't it obvious? Yes, it's about, you all like to party, in the West especially, they always talk about parties and this and that, so this is a big party. The Lord is normally in the temple, But because you refuse to come and see him, he, out of his causeless mercy, comes out to see you. Like I said, we think we're pulling the cards, but he's pulling us. So similarly, he comes out, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified as a Mahapurusha, who is Maya Margadaita Ipsita Anvadavat. He's chasing after the conditioned souls. He's so merciful. So this is another manifestation of his mercy. He comes out of the temple and puts on this big party just to attract you. A few days ago, we had a class from Antioch College, Professor Dale Johnson and 12 of his students. So that professor has been coming for several, many years now. I've known him for a while. And so the students, I implored them, please come to the Ratha. You see the big banner I showed them on site? Please come to this festival. You'll have a good time. And of the 12, one had already been to Ratha Yatra last year, one girl. But you'd be surprised, one of the guys, the Antioch College is kind of a school for older students. Most of their students are in their 30s. People are, like, are again going back to finish their academic education. So they're, you know, they're established personalities. So this man, he said, he lives in Venice and he's never been to the Ratha Yatra. So he said, but this year I'm coming and I'm bringing my daughter. So that is the opportunity. Lord Jagannath comes out to give you, the public, a chance to benefit. And I'll end on this. Once Tamal Krishnamurti was asked about this, and he said, one of the reasons why the Lord comes out, he said, we know, or we've heard, that at end of life, just before you leave your body, your mind becomes like a movie reel, and everything that you've done in your whole life plays back. At warp speed, everything goes through that you've gone through in your life. And your mind is going to latch on to the most prominent thing on that reel. That's going to be your last thought. And that, as we know, as Krishna says, whatever you think about at the time of death, that's going to be your next situation. So that's why it's so important to saturate your mind with Krishna conscious activities. So he said, but those who have been fortunate enough to see Lord Jagannath's Ratha Yatra, to see Lord Jagannath's face, that's what they're going to latch on to. Jai. Jagannath Balev Subhadra Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.